intermission, and then it's Charlie. Charlie, look, you're right here. I bet Charlie was pressured into this.
What's that?
Were you pressured into this?
No.
No, good.
No pressure.
Macon, Georgia kills heartless men if they stay there too long. My father was born there in 1933. When he was 7, his parents bought him a 1940 World Book Encyclopedia set because they were sick of taking him to the library. He read the set, and it was assumed he'd be the first heartless man to attend college. Instead, at 19, he married his 17-year-old high school sweetheart. Following November, I was born. Charles Cochran Hartness III. To avoid confusion, they called me Bud. By the time Kennedy was president, my parents had 3 children. My father was settled in working for his father in the industrial painting company of our family. And my parents were miserable in their marriage. So they divorced. After the divorce, they were still miserable. And they still loved each other. And now they had 3 bewildered, confused children to contend with. So they married each other again. That unraveled fast enough, and this time the divorce took. The 60s unfolded, and my family adapted. On Friday evenings after work, my father would pick up one of us kids, and we'd go to spend the night at his efficiency apartment. When it was my turn, we'd get supper at Lindbergh's Restaurant, the oldest meat and three establishment in Macon, Georgia, specializing in French delicacies like salmon croquettes. After supper, we'd go to the Ingleside Avenue laundromat, load my father's dirty clothes into a machine, feed it some quarters, and while the cycle ran, we'd go next door to Bill's News Store and Bookstand to browse the aisles. When the laundry was done, we'd go back to the apartment, prop up in bed, read some more, and finally fall asleep. On Saturday morning, my father worked until noon at the office, and I messed around in the warehouse. Then we picked up my 2 siblings, had some lunch, swung by the library, and spent the afternoon taking in a movie, hanging out with my grandparents, or hunting for arrowheads along Tobosoffke Creek. Things seemed okay. Then my father married a woman who already had 3 children. Fortunately, their ages respectively matched up with those of my brother, my sister, and me, and we got along great. My siblings and I adored our new stepmother, Dolly, and now we spend every Saturday afternoon at the house with the new family. Meanwhile, my mother married George, a confirmed bachelor and old family friend. And in 1966, our delightful little brother Rick was born. In 1968, my father announced he was taking his new family to Athens, Georgia. He took a job with the Institute of Government. My mother's stepmother, Dolly, worked in ladies' ready-to-wear at Davison's on Clayton Street. On long weekends, my siblings and I took the Trailways bus up to Athens, where change was in the air. My father grew his hair out long, grew a beard, and bought a motorcycle. In the afternoons, he hung out with his pals at the downtown varsity. He came home for Christmas with Dolly and the kids wearing sandals, bell-bottom blue jeans, and a Budweiser t-shirt. A rumble went through the Hartness family. Clearly, this intelligent, previously clean-cut and handsome man was under a horrific influence. Probably drugs, or more likely, the psychology department where he had declared his major. The last months of my senior year in high school rolled by, and I was looking forward to the promise of a job at my grandfather's warehouse for the summer of 1970. School ended. I worked and saved my money. My mother and stepfather planned my future. They handed me a packet of information from Maker Junior College. I set it on my desk and did not open it. Steve Leverett, my buddy from high school, had been accepted to UGA, and I rode up with him for his weekend orientation session in Athens. I snuck into all the events with Steve during the day and spent the nights with my dad and Dolly. Before we headed back to Macon on Sunday, I asked my father to mail me a UGA application form in a plain manila envelope. I was 16 years old and taking command of my life. When I got back from Athens, the application arrived. I completed it and mailed it in. I said nothing to my mother and stepfather. A few weeks later, I was surprised when I got home from work to find a fat envelope on my bed with a broad red diagonal stripe across the front of it that read, UGA application enclosed. I'm sorry, UGA acceptance enclosed. Oh no, here it goes. I headed downstairs and my mother met me in the den. After supper, we're just gonna have a little talk together, George, and you and myself, but I guess you already know what it's about, don't you? The talk was simple. How could I dare go behind my parents' backs and do such a terrible thing as apply to college? We know the only reason you're pulling this is because of your father's influence, and guess what? You are not going. Had to admit, the parallels were convincing. My father had married a cool woman and married to Athens and moved to Athens. I prayed that I might meet my first girlfriend there. My father had grown his hair and beard out and wore sandals. I had talked my barber into letting me grow inch-long sideburns and had switched from wingtips to tassel loafers. My father rode a motorcycle. I had a Sears one-speed bike. Well, George and I have talked about it, and there's really no discussion. You are not going. I said nothing. My mother said, when you look at me like that, I cannot imagine having given birth to a more ungrateful child than you. I looked back at her and thought, you must not have a very vivid imagination. For the rest of August, we held an uneasy truce as they waited for my flimsy college plan to simply fall apart on its own. On the Sunday before September registration, I packed my belongings into a cardboard box and a wooden ammunition crate and waited outside the house for Franklin Driver, who worked for my grandfather, to pull up in the Charles C. Harkness Company flatbed truck. Franklin had always wanted to go to college, but wound up in the 82nd Airborne instead, and the ammo crate was a gift from him. 2 hours later, we unloaded outside of Mary Linden Hall, which had been closed for renovation, then reopened because UGA had an overflow of late applicants, transferees, and would-be athletes. Franklin and I set the box and the ammo crate down on the pavement, and he grabbed my shoulder and shook my hand. This is where I leave you, bud. This is your college now. He got into the truck, waved, and headed south on Lumpkin Street. Thank you.